Everybody get to Hebrews 11:1, and we're still talking about the subject of healing. And I want to look at this evening the faith that takes, and we're taking healing. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, familiar scripture, it says, "Now faith is the confidence." I'm sorry, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And in my Bible, the margin, the word substance, it says that that's another word for ground or confidence. And that's borne out in some other translations. The Amplified says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things." What's the proof? Our faith is the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So your title deed, anybody either owns a home or a car, you have a title deed to something, that's the evidence that you own it. That's the evidence that you own your home or your car or whatever it is that title deed is to. It could be to a TV or whatever it is that you own. That title deed is evidence that you own that. So the same way, faith is the title deed to something that you're convinced that you have, that you own, that you've received. What did you receive from God? Whatever you received, faith is the title deed to that. So faith says, "I have that. It's mine. I own that now. I'm not guessing. I have it. And because I have it, I'm expecting to see it." So my faith becomes the title deed or the conviction or the confidence of something that I don't see yet. Just like that train. That's a good example. That just came by in the nick of time. Your five senses, you didn't see the train. So your five senses work independently of one another, don't they? You can hear something you don't see. You didn't see the train, you heard it. And if you were smart, if you were near it, you'd get out of the way. But you can also see something you don't hear. Right? Isn't that true? So faith is something that we have. This is another, we could call it another sense. Some refer to it as a sixth sense, not, you know, S-I-X-T-H, a sixth sense. But that sense says, "I have this even though I don't see it yet." Just like your senses just heard that train, didn't see it. But your faith says, "I have this. I don't see it yet." Isn't that right? Am I speaking Greek or what? Amen. Amen. Listen to some of the other translations here. This is the Berkeley translation. It says, "But faith forms the solid ground for which hope, for what is hoped for, a conviction of unseen realities." The Knox translation says, "What is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us of things we cannot see." So what convinces us? Faith. Faith convinces us. Faith creates the ground on which we hope things, or we expect something to come to pass. The Moffat's translation says, "Now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see." That's just like what we just saw. We're convinced that a train just went by. Why? You didn't see it, but you're convinced because you heard it. You said that was a train. You don't know, do you? You could say, "Well, I could go around," and just like you say, "Well, I receive my healing." Well, how do you know that? I could say the same thing. How do you know that train went by? You didn't see it. And I could sit here and play with your mind and say, "You didn't see the train, so how do you know?" Well, I heard it. So, and you're convinced because you heard it, right? But you didn't see it. You didn't go outside. You didn't see it. Same thing. I'm convinced that I received something based solely because God said so. He said, if I pray and I believe I received it, I have it. No matter what. And that's what it says. In other words, faith is being convinced. Just the same way you're convinced you just heard a train go by. You're convinced. And the only reason you're convinced is because your natural ears heard it. You didn't see it. You're convinced that you heard a train. And I could sit here and say, how do you know that? You heard it. Well, somebody could have been out there making a noise. Could have had some big horn out there going, womp, 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 right? And you didn't see the train. You didn't know a train. You didn't see it, right? So how are you convinced? Just because you heard it. Now, again, the point being here is that we sometimes put faith in natural senses. And here God is saying faith is the substance or the confidence or the ground on which we're expecting something to come to pass. It's the title deed. My faith says I have it. Nothing more. That's it. And so you can go through, I like some of these other translations. The Fenton translation, it says the conviction of unseen facts. See, so faith is the conviction of something unseen. Just the same way your natural sense says, I'm convinced the train just went by. Just because I heard it. But your faith, that's a natural example, but from a spiritual side, what? My faith is convinced of something I haven't seen. Just because God said so. The Good News Bible says to have faith is to be sure of things we hope for, to be certain of things we cannot see. God's Word translation, I like this. It says, faith assures us of things we expect. Faith assures us of things we expect, and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Isn't that good? Faith convinces us of things, convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. So faith convinces me my body's healed, but I don't see it yet. Faith convinces me of the existence of healing working in my body, or prosperity working in my behalf. Faith convinces me of that. So when I'm not convinced of the existence of something, then maybe we need to check up on our faith. Right? I mean, that's just being honest. You examine yourself and you say, okay, I thought it was faith, but when I'm not convinced of the existence of something, that's why sometimes it helps to look at other translations so it sheds some light on the Word of God. So that's what this says. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. It convinces us of the existence of something we cannot see. So what are those things that you're believing God for? If it's promised, again, when we talk about the conviction of something, let's look at, we're familiar with this scripture in 1 John 5:14. If I'm confident of something, 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says, and this is the confidence. Well, if I have confidence, this says here, faith convinces us. So if I'm convinced of something, this says here, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So the Barclay translation, it says, I like this, it says, the reason why we can approach God with complete confidence is that if we ask for anything that is in accordance with his will, he listens to us. If we know that he listens to us whenever we ask him for anything, we know that the things for which we have asked him are already ours. Let's turn over to Mark 11:24, familiar scripture, Mark 11:24. I like to feed upon these truths periodically to feed my faith. I know the well-known minister said we ought to feed on a faith message every day. Feed our faith, the watering. That's what Brother Hagin said when he was alive. The reason that Christians are not as productive or successful in their faith is that they reject the watering process. So the watering process is we're feeding, we're listening to faith-filled messages and feeding on the Word of God constantly. Mark 11:24. Let me get over there. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that, what? You receive them, and you shall have them. The Amplified, it says, for this reason I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. The Good News Translation says, for this reason I tell you, when you pray and ask for anything, when you pray and ask for something, believe that you have received it, and you will be given whatever you ask for. This is a translation that I'm familiar with, but this particular scripture verse in this translation is really shed some light for me. You know, you know it, but I like the way it's written here. The Wuest translation, W-U-E-S-T, it says, be believing that you received them. Oh boy, that's good. It's not just I received them when I prayed. It says, be believing. Isn't that good? Be believing that you received them. That isn't one and done. That isn't I believed, I received, done. It says, be believing that you received them. That's a continuous act. It's one of the translations I'm not familiar with. I think it's the Amplified. When it talks about the woman with the issue of blood, it says, she kept saying. She kept saying, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. This is saying here in the Wuest translation, Mark 11:24, be believing that you have received them and they shall be yours. So this means that when I believe I received, I have it now, but I'm be believing. I continue to believe that I've received. That's good. The Moffat translation says, believe you've got it. That's how it says it. Believe you have got it, and you shall have it. So faith for the healing of your body, the same as faith for forgiveness, is to believe on the authority of God's word that you were forgiven before you felt forgiven. So we're talking about spiritual and natural. We're talking about I felt something, I heard something, I saw something, but this is saying here from faith's perspective, that when I believe I've received something, the healing of my body, like forgiveness, I've received it before I felt forgiven. I believe I've received healing before I felt healed. So faith is the evidence of things, what? Not seen. So again, when faith receives, or when the manifestation of that which I believe I've received has come or manifested, faith ends. No more need for faith. Faith ends the minute that manifestation occurs. I don't need to have faith for something I have. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath what? Great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So we have need of patience for those things that we are believing, we're believing that we've received. So we need patience for those things. Listen to the, I like some of these translated. Luke 1:37. This is the angel speaking to Mary. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. The American Standard Version, for no word from God shall be void of power. Not one word of God is void of power. The New Living, for the word of God will never fail. The Weymouth, for no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment. So when I receive something, it's impossible, and it says it shall come to pass. No word of God is void of power. No word of God will come up empty of fulfillment. Can't. J.B. Phillips translation says, for no promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. Can't fail. In the 20th century version, New Testament, it says, for not one word from God will prove powerless. It's not powerless. Full of power. So faith takes something. Faith begins to take the promises of God and do what? Receive. And that faith that comes forms the ground or the assurance that that which I'm expecting comes to pass. I have it. I've got this. And it shall come to pass. So often you hear from, you know, the different ministers that have gone before us, and you listen to some of the testimonies of Brother Hagin during his years of ministry, of ministering to people in private settings, that people got up with deadly, I mean, not deadly, but they were on death's bed. Just like Brother Hagin learned, and some of us who've been on death's door. I was on death's door once. And in that setting, God told me to do some things. But, you know, again, I wasn't raised from the deathbed with the power of God. I amended as I went. I was healed as I went. And sometimes we get stuck on how. Where our position is to believe that we've received. It's almost like when you think about it, it's God already moved. Faith is not passive. Faith has to take. Faith has to act. God already acted. God sent his Son. He sent him and bore the sins. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He came, took our sins, bore them. And it says we went to hell with him. Not physically, but he took our sins. Bore the penalty of it. And when that was paid for, it says we were raised from the dead with him, seated in heavenly places in Christ. So we as a people, as saved or unsaved, God sees you through the blood of Jesus. And so for the sinner who takes Christ and believes on Christ, the power of God is activated and causes regeneration in that spirit, just like we've been regenerated. And so the same way, faith begins to take that which what's been promised. Isn't that true? And so the same way, faith takes, we're talking about healing, faith takes that which is already promised. And the power of God is released or activated or energized in our bodies. And the same way that you didn't see that train, I don't see the manifestation of healing in the body, but I believe that it's mine and it's working in me. That's what Brother Hagin kept preaching for 60 plus years. He said when he saw the revelation in the Word of God and said, I see now what I have to do. I have to believe that I'm healed and it's working in me before I see it or feel it. And that's when the Holy Spirit said to him, well, people are up at this time of the day. You need to get up. When he was sick, when he was infirmed, when he couldn't move, he said, what did he do? Anybody who's heard his testimony, he said, I took my leg and threw it out over the side of the bed. I don't know if anybody's been in that position, but they just threw the leg over the side of the bed, threw the other leg over, and he grabbed the bedpost and pulled himself up. And he said, as he did that, strength came. The power of God came. But he had to act on what he believed. He had to act on that which was promised. And that goes for me, any of us, whether it's for healing, whether it's for finances, whatever it's for, we have to act as if. And that's a growing thing. For all of us, that as God reveals some things to us, as we feed upon the Word of God, God will begin to reveal the Word to us and we'll begin to see, was I operating in faith? I thought I was. I heard Keith Moore say that one time. I listened to a message of his a long time ago, and he said he was driving along, and as after years of teaching faith, being a pastor, and he finally said, Lord, I thought I was in faith, but I sure am not, and I need to make an adjustment. So sometimes we think we're in faith, but as God reveals the Word to us, as we meditate and as we water the Word, we begin to see in certain areas of our life, I'm not in faith. I'm talking faith. I'm talking it, but I'm not acting. I'm not stepping out and taking and acting as if I have it. Isn't that true? Amen. Anybody ever been there? I have. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you, the thing that impacted me recently was when you look at Luke chapter 8, it says that the seed is the Word of God. And I'll tell you what got me thinking about it recently, and this is still in the area of healing, is that, and Deacon Shirley was talking about a farmer and you know, observing the conditions in nature. But a farmer who plants a seed, all things considered, that farmer is expecting a harvest. If nature does what it's supposed to do, and it rains, and it provides all of the things, and the sunshine, and all of that, a harvest is coming. And you know what's interesting about this? A farmer doesn't have to go out there and go, and squeeze the hands, and pray and shout and intercede over it and say, oh, come on. It just does what it's supposed to do. And the seed will what? Grow. And the ground, if it's put in good ground, nothing will stop the seed from doing what? Nothing is impossible with God. And no word of God, what do we just got done reading? No word from God shall be void of power. So if we put the seed of the word of God in our spirit concerning healing, and we water it, and we water it, and we water it, and we be believing, it's going to produce healing and health and prosperity in me. And it will drive out of my body conditions and things that have maybe hung around for years. It cannot stay. It can't. No word of God is impossible of fulfillment. So it got me to thinking about that, and I said, well, you know, it was about 2 years ago. I was up visiting my sister and her family and husband up in Buffalo. So I decided, instead of taking Route 90, the thruway all the way back from Buffalo, I decided to take the inside or the roads through the farmlands and countries, the farm countryland, through the inside of New York State. And you see all the farm, you know, fields and all of that. It's a pretty drive, right? So I'm buzzing along in my car, buzzing, and I'm zooming along, doing a good speed, even in the back roads. I'm zipping along, and I come up over this hill, and I went, whoa, and I had to hit the brakes, like really hit the brakes quick. Here's this combine that was the width of both lanes. Double wheels, I mean, this was a monster piece of equipment. It had two arms. Each arm must have spread out 40 feet. And these two arms were up in the air, but this joker took up the whole road. And he ain't moving. And I'm like, and I'm like, whoa! But it got me to thinking, a farmer who plants a field and gets a harvest, he don't just talk about getting a harvest. He goes out, these farmers buy equipment that's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to do what? Just to harvest. If they're expecting a harvest, they ain't sitting around going, yeah, we believe we're getting a harvest, and they ain't doing nothing. Because there's a harvest coming that they've got to go invest and plan for. So I thought about that, and I said, oh, yeah, you know, you're all talking about, you know, and I thought about it for me personally here in the ministry. I said, yeah, we're talking about, yeah, we're moving to the mall, and we're moving to Sears and all. And I said, and the Holy Ghost saying, yeah, that's right, but what are you doing to plan? Are you sitting down and strategizing? Are you planning on when it happens? What are you doing? What are you putting in place, thinking about what's your next step? What are you doing? What are you getting architectural ideas together? You're thinking about how you're going to design it. Are you thinking about? So when you think about, if you believe you've received, then you plan. You think about what's your next step or steps. Maybe you're not going out and buying equipment, but you're planning on that which you expect you've received. So if you believe you've received healing in your body, you're thinking about, just like Brother Hagin said. He said, when I was on the deathbed or I was on the sickbed, I'm thinking about sermons. I'm seeing myself up. I'm seeing myself doing something because why? I'm well. I'm healed. I'm planning to be up. And then the Holy Ghost said, you need to be up. You need to get up. So that which we believe we've received, if you believe that you're prosperous. If you believe you're calling the money in, what are you planning? Are you planning for that? Are you looking to plan what you're going to do with that money? Are you planning on whatever it is that you're planning? You understand my point in all of that? Faith takes. Faith believes that it's received something. And the next step is there's an action to it. You're either getting up from your bed, either moving, you're doing, that's what Brother Hagin would say, how often I've been in too many of his meetings, a lot of his meetings. He'd say, do something you couldn't do before. That's faith acting. If you believe you've received, do something you couldn't do before. Move your arm, move your leg, move it. Amen. Let's go over to James. Let's go over to James chapter 2 for a moment. You know, the devil fights this and people fight it. Faith is an act. Faith is an action. James chapter 2, let's look, starting in verse 14. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Or you could say, another translation, say corresponding action. Can faith save him? And we know that answer is no. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So faith, if it's just, if it does not have faith, or the Amplified says deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, it's inoperative or dead. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thee, I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works, or faith without an action, is dead. It's alone. So there has to be a corresponding action. If you really truly believe, then you're acting upon that which you believe. So this whole process, faith, the act of faith is not just a physical act, meaning I'm acting, but it's also the exercise of your heart and mind. Your heart and mind, or soul, has to be involved in this. So the full exercise of faith means that we think faith, we speak faith, and we act faith. You do what? You think faith, you speak faith, and you act faith. So this brings the manifestation of all that faith takes according to the promise of God. So faith begins to take that which is promised of God, and it does what? This action of mine, my act of faith, brings the manifestation of God, the manifestation of what I'm believing for. So here's a thought. You do not doubt the existence of what you can see because you can't smell it or taste it or hear it. You don't, I'm going to read it again. You don't doubt the existence of what you can see because you can't smell it or taste it or hear it. You didn't doubt the existence of that train just because you couldn't see it. You heard it. And so it's the same thing. We don't doubt the existence of something we can see just because we can't smell it or hear it or taste it. We don't doubt the existence of it. then why doubt the existence of what you've taken by faith because you cannot yet see it or feel it? My point. Why doubt the existence of something that you've received by faith just because you can't see it or feel it yet? Right? So here's the point. To consult our natural senses for evidence that our prayers have been granted is as ridiculous as trying to see with our ears and hear with our eyes. Why are you consulting that which you believed you've received by faith with your natural senses? Why are you looking to your natural senses? Well, I don't see anything. Why are you consulting? I believe I've received based solely on the Word of God, and I have it, and I'm convinced of it. And that is the title deed. That's my confidence that I've received it. That title deed says, I own it. And faith is the title deed to that which I've received. So why consult my natural senses? Don't need to. Now, if God speaks to you and tells you to do something, then you follow that. I'm going to go there too. See, because people get in the ditch on the other side. People get in the ditch on the other side and say, well, you know, the Holy Ghost will say, hello, you need to go make this adjustment. You need to go to the doctor. You need to do this. And we just say, well, no, I'm not saying don't trust the Word of God, but I am also saying be led. Because we have had through the years people that have gotten excited, and I'm going to say it this way, have gotten excited about the Word of God, but the Word has not been watered enough to the place where they're convinced and faith is actually working in their behalf. So they may have mentally assented to something and say, I got this. And then we've had some faith shipwrecks through the years in the area of health where people have stepped out in faith and there's some things that have not gone right. People have died. And so all I'm saying is, I'm not saying don't step out in faith. I'm not saying that at all. Step out in faith, but also be open to be led by the Spirit of God. He knows more about you and where you are in your faith and where you are than you do. I've had supernatural healings. I've had supernatural things hit my body and correct them. But I've also had the Holy Ghost say to me when I was on death's bed, he said, you need to go to the doctor. Now, I didn't take medicine. It was natural what I went through. But still, the point was, I found out I was violating natural laws. And so I needed some correction in my eating habits. And I was violating some things. So, I say all that to say, step out in faith. Take by faith. But also be open to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Listen for His voice. Listen for His leadings. If something doesn't feel right, then I tell people this all the time. Even if you believe God is leading you to go to the hospital or go to a doctor to get some assistance, be led. Be led as to who you hook up with. Because I can tell you, when I went through that process, I went to the hospital. I didn't know. I hadn't been there. So I went, and the whole process, I'm being led. I go to this doctor, and just something didn't, I just said, it didn't feel right. And I never went back. And I kept looking till something felt right. It felt like a warm glow down here. And guess what? I got the results. within 2 weeks because it was the right person, the right setting. And so that's all I'm saying is that if you believe you're led to go, go. But be led in that process. Listen to Him. Amen?
Amen.
So faith takes. Faith receives. And let's look at this again. Let's go back to Hebrews 11, 1 again. Faith is the substance. It's the ground. Faith is the substance of what? The ground on things we hope for. And our faith is the evidence of things not seen. That which we don't see, our faith is the title deed or the confirmation of things that we hope for. I like what the Amplified says, the proof of things we don't see and the conviction of their reality. And I like what it says, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So why consult your senses? Faith is what? Faith, it says, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So your healing hasn't been revealed to your senses yet. Hadn't been revealed yet. You're walking through something. You've received something by faith. You're convinced of it. But faith says you have it. Faith perceives like this, as real fact, that which is not revealed to the senses. And you know, whether or not it's regarding healing or prosperity, when I believe that I've got something, even concerning finances and prosperity, faith perceives as real fact that which has not been revealed to the senses. You ain't seen no money in your bank account. You ain't seen nothing yet. That ain't good English, but you know what I mean. It's empty. Ain't nothing there. Don't know how we're going to make it. But faith says we have it by faith. We have it by faith. That's why I'm convinced. And the more we keep saying it, I'm basing my faith on God's promises and then what He has said to this ministry about this particular ministry. So I'm not moved by what we see. I'm moved by what He's promised in His Word and what He has spoken to this ministry. That's what I'm moved by. And I certainly appreciate those that hook up in faith, those that do what? Think faith, speak faith, and act in faith. So we're going to think faith, speak faith, and act in faith. Act what? Act as if we've already got it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we have the healing in our bodies. We thank You that our bodies are strong. We thank You that they're redeemed from the curse of the law. We thank You that these bodies, every tissue and every cell of our bodies function in the perfection that You've made them to function in. And we forbid any malfunction in our bodies in the name of Jesus. And we thank You, Father, for the strength in our bodies to run this race. We thank You that our minds are clear, they're sharp. We thank You that our thinking is clear and sharp. We thank You that every portion of what we set our hands to is blessed. And we thank You for it. Thank You for the prosperity that we have personally. Thank You for the prosperity of this ministry. Thank You for it. And we believe that we've received it and we're convinced of it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.